By the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Nights, everybody. I'm Spike O'Neill, along with my good friend Matt Butler.
Good evening, everyone.
So, Matt, thank you. Yeah, I hope everybody had a good weekend and a nice Monday on this short holiday week, as we officially are in the starting blocks of the 2022 holiday season, and all that that entails between insane travel, ridiculous shopping, the Festival of Lights. That's the festival where you dig lights out of the garage that have been there since last January.
And try to find the one that isn't working.
Yes! And chase the bad bulb. For the longest time, I was in the process. I had a habit of just, I would take the lights down every spring. And I learned this over a few years of trial and error. I would take the lights down every January spring, yeah, right? Every January. And deposit them directly in the garbage can and just go back in October, November and buy an all new set. Just save me stress and hassle and inevitability.
Mother Nature is groaning under the weight of all those wasted lights.
Spike. Yeah. You know, you're not wrong, my friend. But I couldn't tell you how many times I've, you know, swapped out bulbs and tried this and blown fuses. And our house, I love Christmas. I hope you guys all know that already. I will be your little Christmas angel from here on out, everybody. I'm warning you right now. I really need Christmas right now. I really do. I'm having a hard time keeping myself moving forward. And that's not the right way to say this either. This weekend's news was devastating for my family, heartbreaking for my family, and not on a personal level. And of course, I'm talking about the tragedy in Colorado. But we will talk about that. But I can really use a lot, need a little Christmas right about now, you know, and need a little bit of peace, love, and understanding right about now. I appreciate you playing that coming out of the gate there, Matt. We usually open up with Radio. I love Elvis Costello. I'm a fan of the second British invasion, I like to call it, that late 70s. 80s British musical force, everything from the Clash to the Police to the Sex Pistols, even to Elvis Costello and all things in between. My daughter and I like to sing. We're both Christmas. My little one's a Christmas freak, just like me. It drives my wife crazy, but we like it. Do They Know It's Christmas is our favorite Christmas song. I think one of our favorite Christmas songs, because we like to impersonate the vocals of Do They Know It's Christmas. Every line basically is sung by another 80s British second wave star. My daughter and I are pretty good about impersonating all the different vocals in Do They Know It's Christmas. So, and I keep saying my daughter, and my child, they are a lot like me. And I hope you can derive from that how this story in Colorado is very personal to me. Being a parent in this era of fluidity for a lot of young people, a lot of, you know, not so young people even, being a parent in this age of gender fluidity can be challenging, can be scary at times, and can be very, very rewarding. And we live in a culture that is divided on so many fronts. And we live in a culture that is siloed into our belief systems and almost adversarially beyond repair, I think, at times, over certain issues. There are certain things that we can all agree on that bring us all together. But there are certain things that just divide us straight down the heart, left and right, you know, left and right, black and white, gay and straight, whatever it may be, whatever dividing line you find yourself entrenched on one side or the other of. And there are communities that are targeted these days. The LGBTQ community seems to be getting more than their fair share of targeting of late. But that's not to say that, you know, other communities haven't been targeted as well. Whether it's, you know, the Jewish community targeted in Pittsburgh, at the synagogue in Pittsburgh, the Hispanic community targeted, and the border town, it was at El Paso, at the Home Depot shooting where someone, a mass shooter, just decided to target Hispanic Americans. The Asian community, where a mass shooter decided to target Asian Americans at a nail salon, or one of the multiple targetings of the LGBTQ community. This weekend in Colorado Springs, someone just decided that they had had enough of people different from them and step into the world of hate beyond repair and anger beyond the point of return. And five people were killed. Dozens were injured at a gay club in Colorado Springs, the Q Club, a gay nightclub, LGBTQ nightclub. Five people killed, 19 wounded. And as a father of a child trying to find their way in the world in this era, it really hits home. And it is both heartbreaking and sad and infuriating in equal measure. And I know we all have our differences and we all have our beliefs and we're committed to who we are as people and what we feel is best for our family. And folks who are driven to this level of unacceptance, I guess, is a right way to phrase that. People who just can't tolerate those different from them and feel that they need to act out in this type manner, this violent, deadly manner against those who are different. It just is hard for me to wrap my brain around how that is even a component of who we are.
How do you think that people like this learn how to hate?
Oh, it's easy. It's easy. They're played upon by those seeking power, and told that all the ailments of the world, the deterioration of the world they knew and loved and created, is being undermined and brought down by people different from them. All the woes of society are blamed on people who don't respect the same things that they respect in the way of God and country and how we got to be who we are as Americans. And those days are being undermined, and they hear that message round the clock, not just from the people that they tune into on the television or radio, but the people that they choose to lead them and they vote for are telling them that day in, day out. Telling them that the America they miss is under attack by those different from them. And it's insidious and it's soulless to use that message to try to just seek power. The people and maybe the folks who spew that division, I don't mean to cast
aspersions.
Thank you. I was trying to find the word.
Producer / thesaurus.
Thank you, my friend. I don't want to cast aspersions on religion, But it seems to me many of these fear-based arguments are based in from a religious perspective, that in a simpler time when we were a more religious nation, things were better. And the folks who have strayed need to be brought back to that. And that's the only path that our nation has to recover and reclaim its former glory, is some kind of crusade. And I don't know any other way to put it, any other way to label it other than a crusade. And you think of the innocent people who lose their lives or are right now fighting for their life in a hospital because they are different. They feel different things. They have different talents, different dreams than you, different strengths.
And a lot of times they have the same values, though, that any normal person does. They want to be free to love who they love. They want to be free and safe to express themselves and to be who they are in their country, because it's their country too. You aren't obligated to understand or feel the same as somebody else, but you have to respect their human dignity and freedom. And if we want to live in a free, great country, then let people be who they want to be without persecution.
It's amazing to me that these are the so-called patriots. And I'm not labeling everybody who disagrees with me as, you know, a radical. I'm not. And those of us who feel we are patriotic, and I myself feel I'm very patriotic. You know, one of the ways I celebrate my patriotism is to let others live the life they want to live in this country, to support them, even those I disagree with, especially those I disagree with, to support them in their pursuit of their version of the American dream. If you can't do that, you have no right to call yourself a patriot. I don't care how many flags you hug. I don't care how many flags you fly in the back of your truck. I don't care whose bumper sticker you slap on the back of your car. If you feel that someone else isn't deserving of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because of who they are, who they love, what they choose to believe, whether they wear a headdress or a yarmulke or false eyelashes or makeup or whatever it is, if you feel that doesn't give them the same right to the American dream that you hold dear, you should look in the mirror and reevaluate how you frame the meaning of patriotism. And I knew we had to talk about this story tonight, Matt, and I wasn't, you know, because it's the biggest story in the news. Well, we have another local horrific tragedy in the news to talk about, and I will talk about that as well. The loss of a law enforcement officer over in Bellevue today. But this one is close to home. And, you know, we did about a month ago, we had a segment, we talked about drag. And I tried to be as open-minded and reserved and empathetic as I could to those folks who are confused or ignorant about what drag is and its effect on society and its potential threat or perceived threat. And I tried to convey, and I hope I did a good job. I can't, you know, I'm not going to reach everybody, and I'm not going to nail it perfectly. I'm not going to describe it well enough to maybe ease some people's fears or ignorance of what the topic is. But it seems to me that, again, there are folks out there who are proposing anti drag queen story hour legislation in our federal government under the Protecting Children's Innocent Act or some you know framework of labeling to try to give themselves cover for their homophobia, their transphobic beliefs. Drag is just like a love story. There's a love story, and I equated this last time we did it, and maybe not enough people heard me say it. And I'm not the understanding, clarity, you know, awakening. Well, I'm not the woke whisperer. I'm not going to convince people of to think something new other than their entrenched beliefs. I equated it to like a love story on the Hallmark Channel. Two people cuddling by a fireplace is one something on the spectrum of love. At the other end of the spectrum of love is a guy with a pizza who has a happy ending in the video on your internet. Okay? And everything in between there is on the spectrum of a love story. And it's the same thing can be said with drag. There is drag that is sexualized and adult in nature. And at the other end of the spectrum is Gertrude from your J.P. Patches and Gertrude show. Harmless. You know, if you watched it as a kid, was Gertrude grooming you? No, he wasn't. And there is today elements of drag that are no more threatening or offensive or sexualized than that was for our generation. And for folks to have political agendas, religious agendas, misrepresenting that community, what happened in Colorado Springs is the result. It's playing on the ignorance and the fears of the uneducated and the intolerant to the point of not just physical violence, but deadly violence. This shooting took 5 lives and put 19 others in the hospital. This shooting was stopped by the community. So the patrons of this club overtook the gunman in defense of their own community. Wasn't a good guy with a gun. It was a gay guy with a good heart and courage and support of his own community in the most horrific moment of anybody's life that anybody could face. A gunman in their midst, filled with hate and ammunition, looking to end the lives of those who were different. And when you look at your kid who's trying to find their place in the world, and I've got friends and family who are having difficulty dealing with who their children are trying to become or trying to understand who they are and who they may become in life. And the only question I ever ask is, what more could you want for your child than to be happy, than to be comfortable in their own skin and feel supported and loved by those people in their lives? And I was talking to my wife about this over the weekend, last night, that these kind of moments are what steal my spine and bolster my courage and conviction to be support and supportive and understanding and tolerant and empathetic and all the things that strong people are. You know, not closed-minded or impervious to new information or new feelings or others' ways of life. I don't mean to preach. I apologize for preaching. If that's why you're here, and if you came for something different tonight, we'll talk about lots of different things tonight. But this could not have been ignored, this horrific incident in Colorado Springs. And to the members of our elected government from the state of Colorado who have tweeted out or issued statements of support and sympathy on the heels of their legislative action against this community, pound sand up your ass. I hope I don't lose our license for that, pardon me. That's actually a physical and a medical procedure that can help open a mind. It's a sand enema. Anyway, thanks for letting me get that off my chest and not out of my system by a long shot. But thanks for letting me vent a little bit. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. And there's lots of things happening in our world today that we'll talk about together. We're glad you're here. We hope you'll come back. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, 7:33. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. I want to thank everybody who texted in the last break. 888-973-5476 is the text line. So, yeah. This, you know, someone texted in, many people texted in with support for what I had just kind of unloaded on you nice folks, and I really do appreciate and your tolerance and understanding from my point of view and my, you know, biased point of view. But this is my show, our show, me and Matt, and not a single person came in and to push back on what we were saying, and I really do appreciate that. And of all the texts, Benny, Benny texts the show pretty regularly. And points to out to the men of Monty Python. And I would also put in there the kids in the hall who brought dragged comedy. Well, you know what? Comedy and drag go back much, much further than Monty Python.
I was going to say Milton Berle, right?
Yes, Uncle Milty, who, by the way, by all accounts, was the most over-endowed. Is that the fair way to say that safely and legally on the radio?
I would say gifted, yes.
Gifted, entertainer of his or any other time. Yeah, you know, it's about understanding. It's about peace, love, and understanding. Matt opened the show with it. And, you know, we always say that music is more powerful than we ever want to give it credit for and can do things for our current state of mind and our overall cultural, cognizant, you know, state of being than any spoken word ever could. Yeah, someone said, could you kind of give a brief overview of what happened? Because they missed the news and hadn't heard much about it. Lisa just did a nice job talking about it. And it was a mass shooting in Colorado Springs just before midnight, Saturday night. By the way, yesterday was Transgender Day of Remembrance, a national day of remembrance set for November 20th, started back in 1999, about just to bring awareness of the community and the long history of violence against that community. You know, it's the Transgender Day of Remembrance was started in 1999. This isn't it's a culture war issue for politicians these days. But the problem has been going on for decades. And these, as we were trying to point out, and Benny pointed out in the text, you know, Eric Idle and friends, the kids in the hall, Uncle Milton Berle, Gertrude and J.P. Patches, you know, drag has been around since the Romans, since the Greeks. Shakespeare's day, women weren't allowed to take part in theater, so all the male parts were played by women in drag. Okay? It's not a threat. It's not grooming. It's not something your kid needs to be aware of or not aware of. It's not a threat for your child to be aware of. Of course, now when I say that, there are outliers. There are exceptions to every rule. There are perverts and ill-intended in all stripes, across all spectrums of all beliefs, in all actions. There's some people that are just intent on doing harm. And I'm not going to generalize everybody by the actions of a few simpletons. That being said, on Colorado Springs on Saturday night, someone went into the local LGBTQ club, Club Q, and opened fire, based only driven by hate, targeting that community specifically. For things he had been told, this person, this 22-year-old who's still in the hospital, recovering from the injuries sustained by those who subdued him during the attack. I heard they beat him with his own gun, which is almost poetic justice. But yeah, someone targeted that group out of hate and ignorance on that day set aside. And there was a celebration that night because of this national Transgender Day Remembrance. That was the night that this hate crime, I'm assuming, picked purposefully to make a statement for his side of the argument.
That's too big of a coincidence.
It is. It is. And if I'm wrong, I apologize and I'll retract that statement and I'll own it on air. But I doubt that I'm wrong. Just my opinion, just my speculation. It's a world of it's a world of laughter, a world of tears, a world of hope, and a world of fears. It's a world of tolerance, I hope. You know, I have family members I love dearly that don't believe any of the things I believe from a cultural or social or political standpoint, but I love them dearly. And I would defend them and their right to be as entrenched in their beliefs as I am in mine.
You know what's ironic about this to me is not that any loss of life is acceptable. It's all tragic. But if this person was in his heart trying to target the LGBT community, two of the people that he killed were allies. One was a young man who was there with his girlfriend. He was simply an ally. And this hate hit him too. And another attendee at the club, because they were there in support and solidarity and friendship. These things, the hate is irrational, but even the target of the hate is so scattershot, an unfortunate choice of words.
No. It's no other way to say it.
It bears no sense, and it begs the question, and I wish I could understand it, but I'm kind of glad I don't. What gets into a person's head where he thinks that people out having a good time as friends, accepting each other regardless of who they choose to love and their personal gender expression, who gets into their head that that's hurting them?
Well, it's the right question. What gets into their head is someone telling them that their life is their lifestyle, the country they love is being threatened, is being actively undermined by those different from them. And when you can't, when you can't make your own argument strong enough, you try to tear down the other side's argument. You know, why do negative political ads work? Because people are more easily made afraid than encouraged. People are more easily made angry than enthusiastic or motivated. Those are the easiest, because those are the reptilian environment, reactionary, evolutionary traits we all have. Those are our survival traits. Those are deeply entrenched in our psyche. Those are the ones that are easily played upon. Someone mentioned Flip Wilson as Geraldine. Sock it to me.
Corporal Klinger in MASH. One of my all-time favorite shows, by the way.
Wait a minute, I love Klinger too. Klinger was a fabulous and brave thing to do on television. But Klinger was pretending to have a psychological disorder in order to get discharged from the Army. He was seeking a Section 8 from the Army. So Klinger's not a – I appreciate the memory of drag TV, but Klinger was – Klinger was not – it was not drag. Klinger, in fact, fell in love with and married a nice Korean girl, Sun Yi, I believe the name was, and actually was part of the Aftermath, one of the worst sequels or spinoffs of all time. Was the Aftermath spinoff anyway. I appreciate your tolerance and indulgence of my point of view. My point of view is very personal and close to home and biased. But I don't think I'm overreaching by saying that this culture of hate and division has been weaponized. And it has been put into the field to try to protect a political viewpoint, a political party even, a way of life, a culture that I think is becoming a minority culture in this country. And people who realize that the demographic lines are shifting in this country and want to hold on to the glory days of when the way we were, they have to find a way to motivate that base. Herschel Walker's latest campaign ad targets transgender athletes specifically, and how Raphael Warnock, his Democratic incumbent opponent in this upcoming senatorial election, voted to let transgender athletes compete in college sports.
The Reverend Warnock, by the way.
Yes, the Reverend Raphael Warnock. So, it's being weaponized. Jack Lemmon in the apartment. How about Some Like It Hot? Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis and Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. Anyway, folks, even if you don't get your neighbor, don't understand your neighbor, love your neighbor. Okay? hey, your neighbor might be there, might be the ones that wakes you up when your apartment's on fire. You know? How'd you like to be the bigot whose apartment catches on fire and your trans neighbor doesn't bother waking you up because you were an a-hole the whole time? Karma's a bitch. Don't let it catch you. I'm Spike O'Neill. It's Cairo Nights. We'll be right back. Thank you, Matt. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. We should take a moment just to mention the horrific tragedy locally today. This morning, a Bellevue police officer, motorcycle officer, was involved in a collision with a vehicle that resulted in serious injury, injuries that proved to be life-taking, terminal. Officer Jordan Jackson perished this afternoon from the injuries sustained in this morning's accident. He was 34 years old. Local guy who grew up in town here, went to high school here, went to Central for college, had moved to Spokane and returned to Bellevue to become a member of the traffic division in Bellevue. He'd been a member of the Bellevue Police Department for a little over 2 years, leaves behind a wife and 2 children. And I don't know yet what type of efforts are going to be made to help his family as we move forward from this horrific accident. And it was just that, an accident, man. I feel for the individual in the car who left a parking lot and pulled into traffic. And it's not clear whether Officer Jackson's motorcycle hit the car or vice versa. It's not clear yet. Doesn't really matter. I've got a personal experience with this. My younger brother was involved in an accident that led to the death of a motorcycle rider. And it was the rider was found to be at fault. The guy was speeding on a motorcycle. My brother pulled out of a parking lot and this young man on a motorcycle when he started to decelerate, he got down to 85 miles an hour upon impact and died at the scene. That was my little brother. And I know how traumatic it was for my little brother to be involved in an accident that wasn't his fault, but led to the death of someone else. It's horrific. So my sympathies and prayers and thoughts go out to not only Officer Jackson's family, but also the person involved in this accident that pulled into traffic. Again, there's no word yet as to what kind of efforts can be made to let Officer Jackson's family know how much we care and how much support we want to show. The Bellevue Police Department, I'm sure, has information about what can be done to help that family. As we learn more, I will make sure I bring that to you, Cairo Nights audience, if you feel so inclined to reach out or maybe just make a donation or whatever's available or appropriate to that family this holiday season. It's not a chuckle night here, Cairo Nights, but it is a good time to realize how valuable life is and how important we all are to each other in our lives. You know, as holiday week is upon us and the holiday season is upon us, you know, this is the week everybody comes home or travels home to be with loved ones and friends and family, whether it's at the dinner table on Thanksgiving night or down the bar at the end of the street. The Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is one of the best bar nights in America because folks came home for the holidays and you see them again at your old haunts. Some of the best stories and nights I've ever had have been the night before Thanksgiving, when everybody's home. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back, folks.